This morning we're on part 15 of the Sermon on the Mount, and we'll be looking at ask, seek, and knock. To ask, to seek, and to knock. So if you turn your Bibles with me to Matthew chapter 7. Matthew chapter 7. We're in the final chapter here of the Sermon on the Mount. We're working our way through it. We're taking each point and seeing how deep and wonderful and rich Jesus Christ's teaching is for us. Now, I got a question for you. You don't have to answer it out loud, but I got a question for you. What has Jesus Christ been teaching about? Just hold that in your heart. Just hold it in your heart. What has Jesus Christ been teaching? What is the theme? What is the subject of the Sermon on the Mount? Now, if there's someone who would like to raise their hand and tell me what that theme is. Not everyone at once. Liz.
The ways of the kingdom.
The ways of the kingdom. Exactly. So when we look at what Jesus is teaching today, I want us to keep that in mind, that he's teaching about the kingdom of heaven, the kingdom of God. He's teaching about this. So this, what we're going to look at today, is part of that teaching, and it's about the ways of the kingdom of heaven. All-encompassing, that's the theme of the Sermon of the Mount. So, Matthew chapter 7, I'm going to read chapter 7, verse 7 through 11. And that's what we're going to key into today, that section right there. So, verse 7, ask, and it shall be given you. Seek, and you shall find. Knock, and it shall be opened unto you. For everyone that asketh receiveth, and he that seeketh findeth, and to him that knocketh it shall be opened. Or what man is there of you, whom if his son asked bread, will he give him a stone? Or if he ask a fish, will he give him a serpent? If you then, being evil, know how to give good gifts unto your children, how much more shall your Father, which is in heaven, give good things to them that ask him? So that's the section we're going to look at today. And we can't just take this wonderful section, especially they ask, the seek, and the knock. People like that on their refrigerators. They got them in the frame, on their walls. And it's a great section of Scripture. But it belongs where it belongs. And in the context of the Sermon of the Mount. This is where this belongs. And it's in that context that we understand this. The ask, the seek, and the knocking. Okay? The receiving, the finding, and the opening unto us. So when we look at this, in light of the teaching of the Sermon on the Mount, the questions we could look at this is, what's the context? What's the context? What topics has Jesus already covered? And how, in the context even closer to this section, maybe in chapter 6, what kind of things was Jesus teaching about and elaborating about? And one of the big issues, one of the big subjects in chapter 6 is prayer. Prayer. That's where we have the Lord's Prayer. It's in chapter 6. You know, where you teach the disciples how to pray. Pray like this. Not you have to say the exact same words, although it's a good one. You know, but it's this. And if we even look at Jesus teaching how to pray in light of this, in light of the kingdom of heaven, it's going to flow over into these verses. So what if we're thinking about the Sermon on the Mount and all those beautiful things that Jesus has been teaching about, what kind of things could we ask ourselves, maybe a subject of prayer, when we think about how shall we be able to have such a kingdom heart and mind? How shall we ever be able to live up to the ways of the kingdom in this broken world? How can thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven? These are some questions that we could ask ourselves as we're looking at this today. He illuminates this in a rich fullness, and he doesn't leave anything to wonder as he goes through this. He urges us as followers of him to pray, 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 to pray. Pray with humility, to pray with persistence, to pray in the confidence that we have in God's goodness. That's a big point that's covered in this section. God is good how much of the time? All the time. God is good. God is holy. God is righteous. And we can count on him always being that way. It says in God's word that God never changes. Men can change. Thank God we can change sometimes, right? But God never changes. That goodness that he is, that holiness that he is, that righteous, just God that he is, he always will be. So when we look at this section, verse 7, ask. Ask and it shall be given you. This word ask, used in this kind of context, is used of an inferior asking someone who's superior. Ask and it shall be given you. Seek. We're really seeking something. And you know what? In the Hebrew, now this is written in this section here was written in Greek. I believe that. I really do. But it was written in Greek from the mind of a man who was a Hebrew. Okay? Written in Greek, but from the mind of a man who was Hebrew. So there's these Hebraisms. In the Hebrew, intertwined in with the concept of asking, if you go to Psalms, you'll see this asking, where it's okay to ask. There's a Hebrewism in this, to ask. Then it goes to the seek. Seek. Seek, and you shall find. The Hebrewism with the word seek is elements of worship. To seek God. In Romans, when he's showing the utter depravity of mankind, he says, there's none righteous. There's none that seeketh God. So it's seek. To seek and to find. And then we have this knock. Some people say that this is a progression of intensity. And it may well be. Where you ask and then seeking is a little bit more intense. And then where you're knocking, it's a little more. It may be. But what I do know is all three of those are incorporated in prayer unto God. All of them. If you're invited to knock on the door, do you have any business being there? If you're invited to knock, Yeah, when you come here, you need to knock because we can't hear you out here, right? But when people knock on the door, and then we dash down, you know, the 220-yard dash down the hallway to the door. But the thing is, we're invited to knock. We have the right to knock. We have the right to expect access with our knocking. Do we have to unlock the door? Do we have to unlock the door? When you knock, I have to unlock the door. When we're praying and we knock, do we have to unlock the door? I'm sorry, that was confusing. When we're praying to God, when we knock, do we have to unlock the door? Whose job is it to unlock the door or to open the door? God. When we look at this and we think about, well, it said, ask and you shall receive. Seek, you're going to find. Knock, and it's going to be opened unto you. That means everything? No. But a lot of people use this as a carte blanche to, it's like, it's a prepaid credit card. Just go ahead. Just, no. What's the topic of what Jesus Christ is teaching? The kingdom. The things of the kingdom, the ways of the kingdom. Isn't that wonderful? Now when we look at this, because I'll bet you every one of us have asked something of God and not gotten it. And some things are really important things. If I take this meaning everything that I ask for, I'm going to get. If I take this that everything I'm looking for, I'm going to find. There's things I've looked for in my life that I should not have found. Or to knock and gain access to whatever we want. That's not the teaching here. If we hold that that's what God is saying here, people could get awfully frustrated. We could even get awfully upset with God. And that's a terrible place to be. I know people who have walked away from God because of something that has happened to them or to a loved one. And they say, well, it says here, ask and you shall receive. Seek and you will find it. Knock and you'll have access. It will be opened unto you. But we have to look at what God in his word has Jesus teach them. As he's sitting there in the posture of a teacher, as he's sitting as the rabbi or rabboni, and he's opening up unto them the ways of the kingdom. The whole teaching, it's all one whole unit. I can't take it and dissect it apart and say that it doesn't belong to the rest of this teaching. I'll run into trouble of understanding if I do that. Jesus is teaching the ways of the kingdom, the things of the kingdom of heaven. When we are asking God about the things of the kingdom, when we're seeking from God the ways and the things of the kingdom, when it's our heart's desire to knock on the door on the ways and the things of the kingdom of heaven, all this is true. And you'll never find a time where it doesn't come true. Isn't that kind of a relief? Because when God says he's going to answer everything and it doesn't happen, there's two things that could happen. Number one, I'm not worthy of it. Or number two, God doesn't fulfill his promises. The first one's terrible and the second one's worse. What kind of things can we pray for? What kind of things of the kingdom of heaven can we pray for? Remember those treasures that we treasure up on our heart? Jesus was just teaching that. The treasure up those things in heaven where moth and rust doth not corrupt. What kind of things are they? They were heart things, weren't they? It wasn't coin. It wasn't jewels. It wasn't property. It was heart things. Think about the way that the Sermon on the Mount starts out. The blessed, the beatitudes. Can we pray for those things to be in our hearts? Can we do that? If you look in verse 3 of chapter 5, the poor in the spirit, that means humble. Can we pray to God that our hearts would be humble, to help us be humble? How about meek? The meek shall inherit the earth. Meek, receptive, tender unto God. Can we pray to God to help us with that in our hearts? Can we seek that in our own lives? How about hungering and thirsting for righteousness? The righteous ways, righteousness. We have found righteousness in our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ because we are born again. That was not yet available when Jesus was teaching to his disciples, but he knew it was coming. How about those who are pure at heart? A pureness of heart. Can we pray for those things? Can we seek those things? Can we have access to God to talk about those things in our own heart? I think about King David. He's like, God, search my heart. Search my heart if there's anything wicked in my heart. If there's anything that's not right in my heart, please. Does God already know what's in our heart? Yes, he does. The searching where God searches his heart is to let him know what's in his heart. How about having endurance and joy even amidst persecution? Can we pray to God about that? How about, we heard this in the Spirit this morning. I was so blessed when I heard this. How about that our light would so shine before men that they would see our good works and glorify who? God. Wouldn't that be a good thing to pray about? To seek? You bet ya. Access to that relationship with God. We're little old us, little old lumps of clay. We can do something that would instill in the heart of a man to glorify God. How about peace and forgiveness with our brother? These are all things that are things of the kingdom, ways of the kingdom. How about this one? Love thy enemy. Wow. I'm working on that. But if it's really a desire of my heart, what might I do to accomplish this? Pray. Pray. God can help us do things. Does God take control over our life? Does God possess us? He never does. But when we make that decision to ask him for help on something, guess what? Yes, he can. These are the things of the kingdom, the ways of the kingdom. How about a heart that's not angry? How about a heart that's when living as a child or the children of God? These are all things that are in this. I miss some. I just plucked some out for an example of the ways and the things of the kingdom. To live righteously, or being kingdom people in this world. When I started this whole series, that was the chair creaking on the recording. That was not another sound. All right. When I started out this whole thing, it's the kingdom of God is now, but it's also yet to come. The kingdom of heaven. I think about when Jesus is teaching them the Lord's Prayer. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Can God's will be done on earth right now? Yes, it can. But there will be a day, it will be a complete show. We're all across the world, all across the earth, his will be done. Where can the will of God be done today here on earth? Every one of us, right here in our hearts. Where we could ask God to show us, if I've got any hypocrisy in my life, how do I get rid of it? May I pray without hypocrisy? May I give to others without hypocrisy? May I fast without hypocrisy? These are all things that we can seek, all things we can ask God for, all things that we have access unto him for. How about this one? You can't serve two masters. Either you'll hate the one and love the other. How about that? Because there's times in our lives where we sure want to hold on to a couple. But there's one good master. And that's God. Not this earth, not the things of this earth, not the desires, not the lust of the eyes, the lust of the flesh, and the pride of life. That's the world. That's it in a nutshell. And it creeps in little parts of our lives. And we can pray like this to God. We can ask God for help on these things. Ask God for deliverance in these things. Ask him that our lives would be an example of these things, that men may glorify God. And then back to Matthew 7 here. Or what man is there of you whom, if his son asks bread, will he give him a stone? That may not make a lot of sense, but when you think about what did the loaves of bread look like in the lands and times of the Bible? Flat, kind of round. Some scholars say they even stack stones with the bread to keep it. I can't verify that. But if my son is hungry, do I give him a stone? And then he says, or if he asks for a fish, will he give him a serpent? I have a hard time with that one. I kind of did have a hard time with that one. How would you mistake a serpent for a fish, or a fish for a serpent? And I had it, I think the best explanation I came across is they would dry and salt fish. What happens to the shape of the fish when you dry and salt it? Curls up. That's how they would store them. And in the lands and times of the Bible, there was a fish that they would catch that was very long and cylindrical. And maybe in the dim light of the little oil lamp that they had, little clay oil lamp, maybe it would even look like, maybe a serpent would even look like a fish. Possible. But would a good father do that? Would an earthly father do that to his kids. Now, there's a record in the Gospel of Luke, in Luke 11, that sounds very similar to this section. But the context is that he was there in a certain place and he was praying. Is that what Jesus was doing here on the Sermon on the Mount? Was he at a certain place that he was praying? No. But it's the same subject from the same teacher. So we can learn a little about it. In the Gospel of Luke, it says, would a father give his child a scorpion instead of an egg? Well, how would I goof up a scorpion and an egg? In the lands and times of the Bible, there was a scorpion that would curl up, and guess what it looked like? An egg. If the father giving these things was a trickster, maybe he would. It's a stretch. I don't know. But then he says, if you then, being evil, know how to give good gifts unto your children. You who are a man broken in this broken world, and you wouldn't do that. You wouldn't give your kid a stone for bread, and you wouldn't give your kid a serpent for a fish, and you wouldn't give your kid a balled up scorpion for an egg. You wouldn't do that. If you then, being evil, verse 11, know how to give good gifts unto your children, how much more shall your Father, which is in heaven, give good things to them that ask him? Isn't that something? And as I think of this, as I go through this and I look at this, and I look at this teaching of the Sermon on the Mount in its entirety, it took me going back to the beginning and reading through and reading through and reading through, because it's not a some quote unquote scholars think it's just a nice collection of Jesus' teachings. No. If it was just a nice collection of Jesus' teaching, guess what Matthew would have said this is? A really nice collection of Jesus' teachings. The top 40 of Jesus' teachings. And he does teach these things in other places, but Jesus is teaching the ways of the kingdom, being the king himself, proclaiming the ways of his kingdom. And when we look at this section, and we think about the prayer that he just taught them to pray in chapter 6. Not only that, take your Bibles and look at the last two verses of chapter 6. Matthew chapter 6, the last two verses. It says, but seek ye first the what? Kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added to you. Take therefore no thought, anxious thought, for the morrow. For the morrow shall take thought for the things of itself. Sufficient unto the day is the evil thereof. And remember when we went through that section? The birds, they don't sow, they don't reap, they don't store up into barns, yet they have their food. The lilies of the field are adorned more beautifully than, and that's one day they're there, one day they're all shriveled up and gone and dried. And God takes care of you. He cares for you more than the birds and the plants. He does all these things, you know. Do we pray for food? I hope we do. Do we pray? Now, prayer is just not want, 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 want. It's also thank you, thank you, thank you, thank you. Praise you, praise you, praise you, praise you in our prayers. And in our prayers, where we can know that God is good and he's not going to give us something that is not good for us. God's good. He's good all the time. And we have that. And Jesus wants us to have that in our mindset when we do pray. God is good. He's righteous. He's holy. He's loving. He's merciful. He's gracious unto us. First off, that's the mindset. Where we knock and we know that we've been given an invitation to knock on the door. With those things that we're seeking. Seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these other things will be added alongside of those. This is really what that means. So when we look at this little section, pray, pray, pray. Pray about the ways of the kingdom now, the things of the kingdom now. That we could grow in our hearts and in our lives, that we could exemplify what Jesus is teaching to his disciples, his followers. And we, as followers of the Lord Jesus Christ, can put these things on. And when we need help, and we do, and we always will, we pray, we pray, we pray, we pray with a humility, we pray with a persistence. We pray with an expectation of goodness from the good God and Father that we have. Amen. Amen. Amen.